You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adore Udoji.
Good morning on this Friday, August 1st. And something might have come to mind when you saw the calendar turn over to August, and that is we are exactly 1 week away from the beginning of the Beijing Olympics. And today, a 5.8 magnitude earthquake hit southwest China's Sichuan province, the site of the May 12th deadly earthquake. Joining us for more about that and Beijing's readiness for the Olympics next week is the BBC's correspondent, Carrie Grace, who is currently in Chengdu. Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, we felt that aftershock here in the provincial capital and in the worst earthquake hit areas. People are terrified of the aftershocks. They still have tents up. Many people still living in tents, but even those who are in solid structures have tents so they can run out, get into the tents when they feel the aftershocks. We were in an orphanage, for example, the day before yesterday, and all the children come out of the main building, go into the tents as soon as the aftershocks begin. So this is an area which is still very traumatized, where people are still very anxious, and where people are living in very miserable conditions, some of them. There are 5 million people still living in tents, leaking in the rain, very hot in the sun, hoping they can get into proper housing before winter.
Carrie Gracie, and please excuse me for that misstatement, but you can only imagine that the absolute sheer terror of having this earthquake so quickly after the May 12th. Any reports of casualties or building damage?
Well, not as far as we've heard so far today, but everywhere you go in Sichuan, you see, or in the earthquake zone, you see the evidence of the May 12th major earthquake. The roads have got huge craters in them where rocks tumbled down the mountainsides. The mountains have got chunks sheared away. And as I've been saying, there's so many people whose houses were crushed, whole towns, whole cities. 15 million people displaced, so many people bereaved, 100,000 people nearly either dead or missing, 10,000 of them children, and 5,000 children orphaned in the earthquake.
We talk about the bereaved parents of the children and how much angst and some protest there was against the Chinese government. Where is that story today as Beijing awaits the beginning of the Olympics next week?
Well, that story is nowhere in terms of the official media, because that story is one of the ones that has been blocked in China's domestic media. After the brief window of openness we saw at the time of the earthquake, the government's got very much back in control of the media message down here. Everyone must echo the theme that the government is doing the necessary, that they are competent, united, stable, that they're rising to the challenge of this enormous calamity. And stories about poor building, corruption of construction and local officials, those kinds of stories that some of the parents want to draw attention to are absolutely not welcome. The parents in question are getting threatened and in some cases detained.
Well, Carrie, you know, that begs the question. It appears that the Olympic opening ceremony is going to make reference to the tragedy that killed, as you said, 100,000 people. I'm wondering, given all of the sort of still very, very open wounds on the part of sectors of Chinese society that were so affected by this, Adora mentioned the parents of the children who were killed in the schools that were constructed so poorly. I'm wondering if the opening ceremony is going to feel a little like Berlin in the 30s as opposed to being an emotional touchstone for this really, really serious tragedy for the people of China.
Well, I think you see a situation where the majority of people here have only got one source of information, and they believe their government message. They are basically pretty grateful for what the government's done for them. Everything they lost has been lost in the earthquake, and the government's provided everything from toothbrushes to furniture, is going to give them these temporary homes and so on. So the majority of the people at this point are patient, dignified, fairly grateful. You do get small sectors like the parents in question who are angry and who want answers. But for the most part, people are looking forward to the Olympics. They're looking forward to the light relief of a little sport to take their minds off the misery in which they live.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.